This reading took place on December 10th, 2005, and does not reflect the subsequent edits to the article. RMS Titanic, also SS Titanic, was the second of a trio of superliners intended to dominate the transatlantic travel business. Owned by the White Star Line and built at the Harland & Wolff shipyard in Belfast, Ireland, Titanic was the largest passenger steamship in the world at the time of its launching. During Titanic's maiden voyage, it struck an iceberg at 11:40 p.m. ship's time on Sunday evening, April 14, 1912, and sank 2 hours and 40 minutes later at 2:20 a.m. Monday morning. The sinking resulted in the deaths of more than 1,500 people, ranking it as one of the worst peacetime maritime disasters in history and by far the most famous. Titanic used some of the most advanced technology available at the time and was popularly believed to be unsinkable. It came as a great shock to many people that despite the advanced technology and experienced crew, Titanic still sank with a great loss of life. The media frenzy about Titanic's famous victims, the legends about what happened on board the ship, the resulting changes to maritime law, and the discovery of the wreck in 1985 by a team led by Robert Ballard and Jean-Louis Michel, have made Titanic persistently famous in the years since. Construction. The Titanic was a White Star Line ocean liner built at the Harland & Wolff shipyard in Belfast, Ireland, and was designed to compete with the rival company Cunard Line's Lusitania and Mauritania. Titanic, along with its Olympic-class sisters Olympic and the soon-to-be-built Britannic, originally named Gigantic, were intended to be the largest, most luxurious ships ever to operate. Titanic was designed by Harland & Wolff's chairman Lord Pirie, head of Harland & Wolff's design department Thomas Andrews, and general manager Alexander Carlisle, with the plans regularly sent to White Star Line's managing director, J. Bruce Ismay, for suggestions and approval. Construction of the RMS Titanic, funded by the American J.P. Morgan and his International Mercantile Marine Company, began on March 31, 1909. Titanic's hull, number 401, was launched 2 years and 2 months later on May 31, 1911, the same day that Olympic, hull number 400, would begin its maiden voyage. Titanic's outfitting was completed on March 31 the following year. Titanic was 882 feet 9 inches, or 269 meters, long, and 92 feet 6 inches, or 28 meters, at its beam, and had a gross tonnage of 46,328 tons, and a height from the waterline to the boat deck of 60 feet, or 18 meters. Although it enclosed more space, and therefore had a larger gross tonnage, the hull was exactly the same length as Titanic's sister ship, Olympic. Titanic contained two reciprocating four-cylinder triple-expansion inverted steam engines and one low-power pressure Parsons turbine, which powered three propellers. There were 29 boilers fired by 159 coal-burning furnaces that made possible a top speed of 23 knots, or 43 kilometers per hour. Only three of the 63 feet, or 19-meter tall funnels were functional. The fourth funnel, which only served as a vent, was added to make the ship look more expensive. The ship could hold a total of 3,547 passengers and crew, and because it carried mail, its name was given the prefix RMS, or Royal Mail Steamer, as well as SS, Steamship. For its time, the ship was unsurpassed in its luxury and opulence. The ship offered an onboard swimming pool, gymnasium, a Turkish bath, library, and squash court. First-class common rooms were ornately decorated with elaborate wood paneling, expensive furniture, and other elegant decorations. Second-class and even third-class accommodations in common rooms were likewise considered as opulent as first-class on many other ships of the day. The ship offered three lifts for use of first-class passengers, and as an innovation offered one lift for second-class passengers. The crown jewel of the ship's interiors was undoubtedly its forward first-class grand staircase, between the forward and second funnels. Extending down to E-deck and decorated with oak paneling and gilded balustrades, it was topped by an ornate wrought iron and glass dome, which brought in natural light. On the uppermost landing was a large panel containing a clock flanked by the allegorical figures of honor and glory crowning time. A similar, less ornate staircase, complete with matching dome, was located aft, between the third and fourth funnels. Titanic was considered a pinnacle of naval architecture and technological achievement. It was thought by the Shipbuilder magazine to be practically unsinkable. Titanic was divided into 16 watertight compartments with doors that were held by a magnetic latch and would fall by moving a switch on the bridge. However, the bulkheads did not traverse the entire height of the decks, only going as far as E deck. The Titanic could stay afloat with any two of the middle compartments flooded or the first four compartments flooded. Any more and the ship would sink. Maiden Voyage. The ship began its maiden voyage from Southampton, England, bound for New York City, New York, on Wednesday, April 10, 1912, with Captain Edward J. Smith in command. As the Titanic left its berth, the powerful suction created by the ship's propellers caused the liner New York, which was docked nearby, to break away from its moorings and was drawn dangerously close, about 4 feet, to the Titanic, before a tugboat towed New York away. The near accident delayed the departure for 1 hour. After crossing the English Channel, Titanic stopped at Cherbourg, France, to disembark and board additional passengers, and stopped again the next day at Queenstown, known today as Cobh, Ireland, before continuing towards New York with 2,223 people aboard. Titanic had three class sections segregating the passengers. Third class, also known as steerage, comprising small cabins on the lower deck, was occupied mostly by immigrants hoping for a better life in America. Second-class cabins and common rooms located towards the stern were equal to first-class accommodations on other ships. Many second-class passengers were originally booked first-class on other ships, but because of a coal strike transferred to Titanic. Some of the most prominent people in the world were traveling in first class. These included millionaire John Jacob Astor and his wife Madeline. Industrialist Benjamin Guggenheim, Macy's department store owner Isidore Strauss and his wife Ida, Denver millionaires Margaret Molly Brown, Sir Cosmo Duff Gordon and his wife, courtier Lady Duff Gordon, streetcar magnate George Dunton Widener and his wife Eleanor, and their 27-year-old son Harry Elkins Widener, Pennsylvania Railroad executive John Borland Thayer and his wife Marion, and their 17-year-old son Jack, journalist William Thomas Stead and the Countess of Roths, United States presidential aide Archibald Butt, author and socialite Helen Churchill Candy, author Jacques Frutel and his wife May, and their friends Broadway producers Henry and Irene Harris, silent film actress Dorothy Gibson, and others. Both J.P. Morgan and Milton Hershey had plans to travel on Titanic, but canceled the reservations before the voyage. Also traveling in first class were White Star Line's managing director, J. Bruce Ismay, and the ship's builder, Thomas Andrews, who was on board to observe any problems and assess the general performance of the new ship. Disaster. On the night of Sunday, April 14th, the temperature had dropped to near freezing, and the ocean was completely calm. There was no moon out, and the sky was clear. Captain Smith, in response to iceberg warnings received via wireless over the last few days, had altered Titanic's course around 10 miles, or 20 kilometers, south of the normal shipping route. That Sunday, at 1:45 p.m., a message from the steamer America warned that large icebergs lay in Titanic's path. But inexplicably, the warning was never relayed to the bridge. Later that evening, another report of numerous large icebergs in Titanic's path, this time from the Maseba, also failed to reach the bridge. At 11:40 p.m., while sailing south of the Grand Banks of Newfoundland, lookouts Frederick Fleet and Reginald Lee spotted a large iceberg directly ahead of the ship. Fleet sounded the ship's bell 3 times and telephoned the bridge, exclaiming, "Iceberg, right ahead." First Officer Murdoch ordered an abrupt turn to port, or left, and full speed astern, which stopped and then reversed the engines. A collision turned out to be inevitable, and the iceberg brushed the ship's starboard side, buckling the hull in several places and popping out rivets below the waterline over a length of 300 feet, or 90 meters. The watertight doors were shut as water started filling the first 5 watertight compartments, one more than Titanic could stay afloat with. The weight of the 5 watertight compartments filling with water weighed the ship down past the top of the watertight bulkheads, allowing water to flow into other compartments. Captain Smith, alerted by the jolt of the impact, arrived on bridge and ordered a full stop. Following an inspection by the ship's officers and Thomas Andrews, it was apparent that Titanic would sink, and shortly after midnight on April 15th, lifeboats were ordered to be readied and a distress signal was sent out. The first lifeboat launched, Boat 7, was lowered shortly after 12:40 a.m. on the starboard side with only 28 people on board, out of a maximum capacity of 65. The Titanic carried 20 lifeboats with a total capacity of 1,178 persons. 16 lifeboats, indicated by numbers, were in the davits, and 4 canvas-sided collapsibles, indicated by letter, stood on the roof of the officers' quarters or on the forward boat deck to be launched in empty davits. While only enough space for a little more than half the passengers and crew, Titanic carried more boats than required by the British Board of Trade. At the time, the number of lifeboats required was determined by a ship's gross tonnage rather than its human capacity. The regulations concerning lifeboat capacity had been last updated in 1894, when the largest ships afloat weighed approximately 10,000 tons. First and second class passengers had easy access to the lifeboats with staircases that led right up to the boat deck, but third class passengers found it much harder. Many found the corridors leading from the lower sections of the ship difficult to navigate, and had trouble making their way up to the lifeboats. Contrary to popular belief, only a few gates separating the third-class section from the ship and other areas, like the one leading from the aft wall deck to the second-class section, remained locked. However, large steerage families refused to be separated, and it seems unlikely that stewards thoroughly searched the third-class sections of the ship for people left behind. While all first- and second-class children save one survived the sinking, more third-class women and children were lost than saved. Wireless operators Jack Phillips and Harold Bride were busy sending out distress signals. Several ships responded, including Mount Temple, Frankfurt, and Titanic sister ship Olympic, but none were close enough to make it in time. The closest ship to respond was Cunard Line's RMS Carpathia, and at 58 miles or 93 kilometers away, it would arrive in about 4 hours, still too late to get Titanic in time. The only land-based location that received the distress call from Titanic was the wireless station at Cape Race, Newfoundland. From the bridge, the lights of a nearby ship could be seen off the port side. Not responding to wireless, Fourth Officer Boxhall and Quartermaster Rao attempted signaling the ship with a Morse lamp, and later with distress rockets, but the ship never appeared to respond. SS Californian, which was nearby and stopped for the night because of ice, also saw lights of a ship in the distance. Californian's wireless was turned off, and the wireless operator had gone to bed for the night. Just before he went to bed, at around 11 o'clock p.m., Californian's radio operator attempted to warn Titanic that there was ice ahead, but he was cut off by an exhausted Jack Phillips, who sent back, shut up, I'm busy, I'm working, Cape Race. When Californian's officers saw the first ship, they tried signaling it with their Morse lamp, but also never appeared to receive a response. Later, they noticed Titanic's distress signals over the lights and informed Captain Stanley Lord. Even though there was much discussion about the mysterious ship, which to the officers on duty appeared to be moving away before disappearing, Californian did not wake its wireless operator until morning. At first, passengers were reluctant to leave the ostensibly safe Titanic, which showed no outward signs of being in imminent danger, and to board small lifeboats. As a result, most of the boats launched partially empty. One boat, boat number one, meant to hold 40 people, left the Titanic with only 12 people on board. With women and children first the imperative for loading lifeboats, Second Officer Lightoller, who was loading boats on the port side, allowed men on, only if oarsmen were needed, and for no other reason, even if there was room. First Officer Murdoch, who was loading boats on the starboard side, let men on if women were absent. As the ship's tilt became more apparent, people started to become nervous, and some lifeboats began leaving fully loaded. Shortly after 2 o'clock a.m., the waterline had reached the forward boat deck, and all the lifeboats, save for collapsibles A and B, had been lowered. Collapsible D was the last lifeboat to be lowered from the davits. Around 2:10 a.m., the stern rose out of the water, exposing the propellers, and the forward boat deck was flooding. Events began to transpire rapidly as the last two lifeboats floated right off the deck, collapsible lifeboat B upside down, and collapsible lifeboat A half-filled with water. Shortly afterwards, the forwardmost funnel collapsed, crushing part of the bridge and many of those struggling in the water. On deck, people were scrambling towards the stern, or jumping overboard in hopes of reaching a lifeboat. The ship's stern slowly rose into the air, and everything not secured crashed towards the bow. While the stern rose, the electrical system finally failed and the lights went out. Shortly thereafter, the stress on the hull caused Titanic to break in two and possibly three pieces between the third and fourth funnels and the bow section when completely under. The stern section briefly righted itself on the water before rising back up vertically. After a few moments at 2:20 a.m., the stern section also sank into the ocean. A total of 2,223 people, only 706 survived. 1,517 perished. The majority of deaths were caused by victims succumbing to hypothermia in the 28 degree Fahrenheit or negative 2 degrees Celsius water. Out of the 18 lifeboats launched, only two rescued people out of the water after the ship sank. Lifeboat 4 was close by and picked up five people, two of whom later died. Close to an hour later, Lifeboat 14 went back and rescued four people, one of whom died afterwards. Other people managed to climb onto the two collapsible lifeboats that floated off the deck. There were some arguments in some of other lifeboats about going back, but many survivors were afraid of being swamped by people trying to climb into the lifeboat or getting pulled down by the suction from the sinking Titanic. Though it turned out that there had been very little suction. As the ship fell into the depths, the two sections ended their final plunges very differently. The streamlined bow planed off approximately 2,000 feet, or 600 meters below the surface, and slowed somewhat, landing relatively gently. The stern, however, fell fairly straight down towards the ocean floor, possibly rotating as it sank, with the air trapped inside causing implosions. The bow section, having been opened by the iceberg, had no air left in it when it sank. Rescue. Almost 2 hours after the Titanic sank, RMS Carpathia, commanded by Captain Arthur Henry Rostron, had appeared on scene and picked up its first lifeboat. Over the next several hours, the remainder of the survivors were rescued. On board Carpathia, a short prayer service for the rescued and a memorial for the people who lost their lives was held. And at 8:50 a.m., Carpathia left for New York, arriving on April 18th. Once the loss of life was verified, White Star Line chartered the ship McKay Bennett to retrieve bodies. A total of 328 bodies were eventually recovered. Many of the bodies were taken to Halifax, Nova Scotia, where the majority of the unclaimed were buried in Fairview Cemetery. Aftermath and consequences. As news of the disaster spread, many people were shocked that Titanic could sink with such a great loss of life, despite all of its technological advances. Newspapers were filled with stories and descriptions of the disaster and were eager to get the latest information. Many charities were set up to help the victims and their families, many of whom lost their sole breadwinner, or in the case of third-class survivors, lost everything they owned. The people of Southampton were deeply affected by the sinking. According to the Hampshire Chronicle on April 20, 1912, almost 1,000 local families were directly affected. Almost every street in the Chapel District of the town lost more than one resident, and over 500 households lost a member. Before the survivors even arrived in New York, investigations were being planned to discover what had happened to the Titanic, and what could be done to prevent a recurrence. The United States Senate initiated an inquiry into the Titanic disaster on April 19th, a day after Carpathia arrived in New York with the survivors. The chairman of the inquiry, Senator William Alden Smith, wanted to gather accounts from passengers and crew while the events were still fresh in their minds. Smith also needed to subpoena the British citizens while they were still on American soil. The American inquiry lasted until May 25th. Lord Mercy was appointed to the head of the British Board of Trade's inquiry into the disaster. The British inquiry took place between May 2nd and July 3rd. Each inquiry took testimony from both passengers and crew of Titanic, members of Californian's crew, and other experts. The investigations found that many safety rules were out of date, and as a result, numerous safety measures were enacted. Both inquiries into the disaster found Californian and its captain failed to give proper assistance to Titanic. The inquiries found that Californian was closer to Titanic than the 19.5 miles that Captain Lord had figured, and that Lord should have awakened the wireless operator after the rockets were first reported to him. As a result of Californian's off-duty wireless officer, 29 nations ratified the Radio Act of 1912, which streamlined radio communications, especially in the event of emergencies. The disaster also led to the convening of the first International Convention for the Safety of Life at Sea in London, England, on November 12, 1913. On January 20, 1915, a treaty was signed by the conference and resulted in information and international funding of the International Ice Patrol, an agency of the United States Coast Guard that to the present day monitors and reports on the location of North Atlantic Ocean icebergs that could pose a threat to transatlantic sea lane traffic. It was also agreed in the new regulations that all passenger vessels would have sufficient lifeboats on board for everyone, that appropriate safety drills would be conducted, and that radio communications would be operated 24 hours a day along with a secondary power supply, so as not to miss distress calls. In addition, it was agreed that the firing of red rockets from a ship must be interpreted as a distress signal. The sinking of Titanic also changed the way passenger ships were designed, and caused many existing ships, like Olympic, to be refitted for increased safety. Besides increasing the number of lifeboats on board, improvements included extending the height of the watertight bulkheads. The bulkheads on Titanic extended 10 feet, or 3 meters, above the waterline, and after Titanic sank, the bulkheads on other ships were extended higher to prevent the water from spilling into other watertight compartments as it did on Titanic. In addition, Titanic had a double-plated bottom, but the rest of the ship's hull was not reinforced. Some older steamships had double hulls, which could prevent water from flowing into the ship after being damaged, but many modern ships at the time had just a single hull, which saved costs and space. After Titanic sank, many existing ships' double bottoms were extended up the sides of the hull to a point above the waterline, and newer ships were designed with double hulls. Legends, myths, and controversies. Use of SOS. Despite popular belief, the sinking of Titanic was not the first time the internationally recognized Morse code distress signal SOS was used. The SOS signal was first proposed at the International Conference on Wireless Communication at Sea in Berlin in 1906. It was ratified by the international community in 1908 and had been in widespread use since then. The SOS signal was, however, rarely used by British wireless operators, who preferred the older CQD code. First wireless operator Jack Phelps began transmitting CQD until second wireless operator Harold Bride suggested half-jokingly, send SOS, it's the new call, and this may be your last chance to send it. Phillips, who perished in the disaster, then began to intersperse SOS with the traditional CQD call. Titanic's rudder and the ship's turning ability. Although Titanic's rudder was not legally too small for a ship its size, the rudder's design was hardly state-of-the-art. According to researchers with the Titanical Historical Society, Titanic's long, thin rudder was a copy of a 19th-century steel sailing ship. Compared with the rudder design of Cunard's Mauretania or Lusitania, Titanic's was a fraction of the size. Apparently no account was made for advances in scale, and little thought was given to how a ship 882.5 feet in length might turn in an emergency, or avoid collision with an iceberg. This was Titanic's Achilles heel. Perhaps more fatal to the design of the Titanic was its triple-screw engine configuration, which had reciprocating steam engines driving its wing propellers and a steam turbine driving its center propeller. The reciprocating engines were reversible, while the turbine was not. When First Officer Murdoch gave the order to reverse engines to avoid the iceberg, he inadvertently handicapped the turning ability of the ship, since the center turbine could not reverse during the full-speed astern maneuver. It simply stopped turning. Furthermore, since the center propeller was positioned forward of the ship's rudder, the effectiveness of the rudder would have been greatly reduced. Had Murdoch simply turned the ship while maintaining its forward speed, Titanic might have missed the iceberg entirely. It has also been speculated that the ship could have been saved if it had rammed the iceberg head-on. It is hypothesized that Titanic had not altered its course at all and had run head-on into the iceberg, the damage would only have affected the first, or at most, first two compartments. This would have disabled it severely, but was something that Titanic would most likely survive, since Titanic was designed to float with the first four compartments flooded. Titanic's band. One of the most famous stories of Titanic is of the band. On April 15th, Titanic's eight-member band, led by Wallace Hartley, had assembled in the first-class lounge in an effort to keep passengers calm and upbeat. Later they would move on to the forward half of the boat deck. The band continued playing music, even when it became apparent that the ship was going to sink. None of the band members survived the sinking, and there has been much speculation about what their last song was. Some witnesses say the final song played was the hymn, "Nearer, My God, to Thee." Hartley reportedly said to a friend, if he was on a sinking ship, "Nearer, My God, to Thee" would be one of the songs he would play. Walter Lord's book, A Night to Remember, popularized wireless operator Harold Bride's account that he had heard the song Autumn before the ship sank. It is considered Bride either meant the hymn called Autumn or Songe d'Autumn, a popular song at the time. David Sarnoff. An often quoted story that has been blurred between fact and fiction states that the first person to receive news of the sinking was David Sarnoff, who would later found media giant RCA. Sarnoff was not first to hear the news, though Sarnoff willingly promoted this notion, but he and others did man the Marconi wireless station atop the Wanamaker department store in New York City, and for 3 days relayed news of the disaster and names of survivors to people waiting outside. Alternate theories and curses. As with many famous events, many alternate theories about the sinking of Titanic have appeared over the years. Theories that it was not an iceberg that sank the ship, or that a curse caused the disaster, have been popular reading in newspapers and books. Most of these theories have been debunked by Titanic experts, citing inaccurate or incomplete facts with the theories are based on. The Rediscovery of Titanic. The idea of finding the wreck of Titanic and even raising the ship from the ocean floor had been around since shortly after the ship sank. No attempts were successful until September 1, 1985, when a joint American-French expedition led by Jean-Louis Michel of IFREMER and Dr. Robert Ballard of the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution, sailing on the research vessel Nore, located the wreck using the video camera sled Argo. It was found at a depth of 2 miles, or 3,800 meters, southeast of Newfoundland at 41 degrees, 43-55 north, or 49 degrees 56-45 west, 13 miles 22 kilometers from where Titanic was originally thought to rest. The most notable discovery the team made was that the ship had been split apart, the stern section lying 1,970 feet, or 600 meters, from the bow section and facing opposite directions. There had been conflicting witness accounts of whether the ship broke apart or not, and both the American and British inquiries found that the ship sank intact. Up until the discovery of the wreck, it was generally assumed the ship did not break apart. In 2005, a theory was presented that a portion of the Titanic's bottom broke off right before the ship broke in two. The theory was conceived after an expedition sponsored by the History Channel examined two hull pieces, each around 40 feet by 90 feet. That rest close to a third of a mile away from the other sections. The bow section had embedded itself 60 feet or 18 meters into the silt on the ocean floor. Besides part of the hull have being blocked, the bow was mostly intact, as the water inside had equalized with the increasing water pressure. The stern section was in much worse condition. As the stern section sank, water pushed out the air inside, tearing apart the hull and decks. The speed at which the stern hit the ocean floor caused even more damage. Surrounding the wreck is a large debris field with pieces of the ship, furniture, dinnerware, and personal items scattered over 1 square mile, or 1.6 square kilometers. Softer materials like wood and carpet were devoured by undersea organisms. Human remains suffered a similar fate. Originally, historians thought that the iceberg had cut a gash in Titanic's hull. Since the part of the ship had the iceberg damaged was buried, scientists used sonar to examine the area discovered the iceberg had caused the hull to buckle, allowing water to enter Titanic between its steel plates. During subsequent dives, scientists retrieved small pieces of Titanic's hull. A detailed analysis of the pieces revealed the ship's steel plating was of a variety that loses its elasticity and becomes brittle in cold or icy water, leaving it vulnerable to dent-induced ruptures. Furthermore, the rivets holding the hull together were much more fragile than once thought. It is unknown if stronger steel or rivets could have saved the ship. The samples of steel rescued from the wreck hull were found to have very high content of phosphorus and sulfur, 4 times and 2 times as high as common for modern steels. With a manganese-sulfur ratio of 6.8 to 1, compare with over 200-to-1 ratio for modern steels. High content of phosphorus initiates fractures. Sulfur forms grains of iron sulfide that facilitate propagation of cracks, and lack of manganese makes the steel less ductile. The recovered samples were found to be ongoing ductile brittle transition in temperatures of 32 degrees Celsius for longitudinal samples and 56 degrees Celsius for transversal samples, compare with a transition temperature of negative 27 degrees Celsius common for modern steels. Modern steel would have become as brittle between negative 60 and negative 80 degrees Celsius. The anisotropy was likely caused by a hot rolling influencing the orientation of the sulfur stringer inclusions. The steel was probably produced in the acid-lined open hearth furnaces in Glasgow, which would explain the high content of phosphorus and sulfur, even for the times. Dr. Ballard and his team did not bring up any artifacts from the site, considering it to be tantamount to grave robbing. Under international maritime law, however, the recovery of artifacts is necessary to establish salvage rights to a shipwreck. In the years after the find, Titanic has been an object of number of court cases concerning ownership of artifacts and the wreck site itself. In 1994, RMS Titanic Incorporated was awarded ownership and salvaging rights of the wreck. Approximately 6,000 artifacts have been removed from the wreck. Many of these were put on display at the National Maritime Museum in Greenwich, England, and later as part of a traveling museum exhibit. Current condition of the wreck. Many scientists, including Robert Ballard, are concerned that visits by tourists in submersibles and the recovery of artifacts are hastening the decay of the wreck. Underwater microbes have been eating away at Titanic's iron since the ship sank, but because of the extra damage visitors have caused, the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration estimates that the hull and structure of the ship may collapse to the ocean floor within the next 50 years. Ballard's book, Return to Titanic, published by the National Geographic Society, includes photographs depicting the deterioration of the promenade deck and damage caused by submersibles landing on the ship. The mast has almost completely deteriorated and has been stripped off its bell and brass light. Other damages include a gash on the bow section where block letters once spelled Titanic, and part of the brass telemotor, which once held the ship's wooden wheel, is now twisted. Even the memorial plaque left by Ballard on his second trip to the wreck had been removed. However, Ballard replaced the plaque in 2004. Recent expeditions, notably by James Cameron, have been diving on the wreck to learn more about the site and explore previously unexplored parts of the ship before the Titanic decays completely. Comparable maritime disasters. Titanic was at the time one of the worst maritime disasters in history in terms of loss of life. A similar disaster of this scale having never happened out of the heavily traveled North Atlantic route, however, the Titanic's death toll was exceeded by the explosion and sinking of the steamboat Sultana on the Mississippi River in 1865, where 1,700 people died. The worst peacetime maritime disaster happened on 21st of December, 1987, when the passenger ferry Dona Paz sank on the Philippines after colliding with the oil tanker Vector and catching fire. The sinking of the Dona Paz claimed between 1,500 and 4,000 lives. However, the worst maritime disasters happened during wartime. The three worst were German ships. SS Cap Arcona was sunk by the Royal Air Force on May 3, 1945, with an estimated death toll of more than 7,700. Goya was sank with an estimated 7,000 dead, and the Wilhelm Gustloff with an estimated death toll between 6,000 and 9,000, the latter two by Soviet submarines in 1945. Titanic was not the first White Star Line ship to sink with loss of life. RMS Taylor, which has been compared to the sinking of Titanic, sank after running aground in Ireland. Taylor was also technically innovative when it sank on its maiden voyage in 1854. Of its 558 passengers and crew, 276 were lost. Also similar to Titanic was Hans Hedtoft. In January 1958, Hans Hedtoft, a Danish liner sailing from Greenland, struck an iceberg and sank. Hans Hedtoft was also on its maiden voyage and was boasted to be unsinkable because of its strong design. It had been noted that two-thirds of the passengers and crew were lost on Titanic. The ratio had been repeated with the sinking of the RMS Lusitania and the sinking of the RMS Leinster. Both were sunk by German U-boats in World War I. Popular culture. The sinking of Titanic has been the basis for many novels describing fictionalized events on board the ship. Many reference books about the disaster have also been written since the Titanic sank, the first of these appearing within months of the sinking. Survivors, like Second Officer Lightoller and Passenger Jack Thayer, have written books describing their experiences. Some, like Walter Lord, who wrote the popular A Night to Remember, did independent research and interviews to describe the events that happened on board the ship. Morgan Robertson's 1898 novella Futility, which has written 14 years before RMS Titanic's ill-fated voyage, was found to have many parallels with the Titanic disaster. Robertson's work concerned a fictional state-of-the-art ocean liner called the Titan, which eventually collides with an iceberg on a calm April night whilst en route to New York. Huge amounts of people died because of the lack of lifeboats. Both Titan itself and the manner of its demise bore striking similarities to the eventual fate of Titanic, and Robertson's novella remains in print today as an unnerving curiosity. Titanic, which has featured in large number of films and TV movies, most notably Saved from Titanic in 1912, In Nacht und Eis in 1912, Atlantic in 1929, Titanic in 1943, Titanic in 1953, A Night to Remember in 1958, SOS Titanic, a TV movie in 1979, Raise the Titanic in 1980, Titanic, a TV miniseries in 1996, and Titanic in 1997. The most widely viewed is the 1997 film Titanic, directed by James Cameron and starring Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet. It became the highest-grossing film in history. It also won 11 Academy Awards out of 14 nominations, tying with Ben-Hur, 1959, and The Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King, in 2003, for the most awards won. The story was also made into a Broadway musical, Titanic, written by Peter Stone, with music by Moore Yeston. Titanic ran from 1998 to 2000. The 1960 Broadway musical The Unsinkable Molly Brown tells survivor Margaret Brown's life story, which included the events on board the Titanic. The musical was written by Richard Morris with music from Meredith Wilson. A film version starring Debbie Reynolds was released in 1964. Other media include Titanic: Adventure Out of Time, which was a 1996 computer game that took place on the Titanic. Starship Titanic was another computer game that takes place in the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy universe and was a parody of the Titanic disaster. Many television shows have also referenced the Titanic disaster. The show The Time Tunnel featured a visit to the ship on its first episode. A character on the British drama Upstairs, Downstairs died on the Titanic, and the animated series Futurama did a parody where it had the cast boarding a spacefaring vessel called Titanic. The spaceship was torn in half by a black hole on its maiden voyage. In movies like Time Bandits and Cavaclade, Titanic has had brief appearances, and in Ghostbusters 2, Titanic briefly appeared as a ghost ship. Using Titanic as humor has not been exclusive to popular entertainment. The Intel Itanium microprocessor has often been jokingly called Itanic, since as of 2005, its sales have fallen short of expectations.